It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Almost 3 hours into a chartered train ride from Washington, D.C. to West Virginia, lawmakers were jolted. They heard a loud noise. The cars quickly screeched from 70 to zero, according to one member, and that is because their ride to a retreat collided with a garbage truck on the tracks in the town of Crozet. Within minutes, as a strong electrical smell filled the cabins, the Capitol Police pleaded with any physicians on board to administer first aid to the most seriously injured. And that is when a handful of legislators turned into lifesavers. Among the doctors on board, Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy, Ohio Congressman Brad Wenstrup, Texas Congressman Michael Burgess, Tennessee Congressman Phil Rowe, and Kansas Congressman Roger Marshall, who told us two of the passengers in the truck required the most urgent attention, but that one could not be saved.
Dr. Rowe and I could not find a pulse, and his pupils were fixed and dilated, and thought it was best to call that code and move all of our attention back to the first victim.
That's the first part of Peter Ducey's report, and that is really what I wanted to emphasize. I know we had a report at the top of the news a few minutes ago, but this is so much, reminds us so much of what happened when House members were playing baseball at Alexandria. It was just last summer, and they're on the field, and a shooter comes up and tries to kill them. Hardly any conversation is ever had about that anymore. It was quickly buried by the news. It was such a huge story. Steve Scalise, of course, nearly lost his life, went through multiple surgeries. The president praised, I guess, God, in a way, at the State of the Union address for Steve Scalise being present and alive. And it was interesting because the Democrats didn't even cheer for that. That's an aside. But now, once again, Republicans are on this private train. They're traveling to this retreat, and this accident happens. Here's the rest of Peter's report.
Five train passengers were taken to the University of Virginia Hospital for head injuries, including a staffer for House Speaker Paul Ryan and a representative from Minnesota, Congressman Jason Lewis, who was evaluated for a concussion and tells Fox, quote, "I'm fine compared to, tragically, the truck drivers and thankful for the prompt action of our doctors and first responders. My thoughts are with the family of the individual who passed away." Back in D.C., meanwhile, the president, who was briefed, says it's going to be a while until authorities know how a truck ended up on the tracks in front of a heavily guarded train.
We don't have a full understanding yet as to what happened, but it was a train hitting a truck going at a pretty good speed. And we'll have a full report.
At the point of impact, the badly damaged engine car was eventually removed, and the remaining cars were towed backwards to a train station in downtown Charlottesville, where Republicans were quickly loaded onto buses for a drive to their planned retreat. We were there. The transfer from train cars to buses in Charlottesville was tense at times because state and local authorities were not expecting to have half of Congress drop by the middle of a college town in the middle of the day. Lawmakers that I have spoken to are upset about what happened, but they are here now trying to refocus on their 2018 agenda.
All right, that was, I don't think that in that report, I thought Peter mentioned, and I want to mention to you that they spent, I don't know how much time, but let's just say there was prayer. They prayed, I think, as a caucus, and I think they certainly prayed for the victim. It was a 28-year-old guy, Christopher Foley, who died, and then, of course, the other passengers in serious condition. But, you know, the thing that struck me was this is a terrible tragedy, and we can only hope and pray. It was not intentional. But the third part of it, maybe the most important, is these kinds of things God never wastes. And as I heard some of them tell their stories, and, you know, they were shaken up. Of course they were. They didn't know what was going to happen. They thought they might be killed. There were other injuries mentioned. I know the conductor, et cetera. And so they were driven to their knees in prayer. Not probably all of them, but a lot of them were. And they're going away to have a retreat, to talk about what they're going to do in this coming year, 2018. And I just can't help but think, you know, if God has their attention, God can work. He can work in them because he humbles us. It's not that he wants to bring tragic circumstances our way, but he uses those things to draw us closer to him. And so we pray that that's the case for those that understand who he is and have a relationship with him. And many of the Republicans do, and many of them that I know, that this will be an effective tragedy, not wasted in terms of their service to this country. All right. Well, this is an interesting day. Because many of you will remember, you might not remember offhand, but you will when I tell you that 16 years ago today, Daniel Pearl, who was a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, it was 2002, it was not long after 9/11, he was brutally beheaded. They made a video of it. He was brutally beheaded by no less than Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was the mastermind of the 9/11 terror attack. Before he was beheaded, Daniel Pearl said, "My father is Jewish. My mother is Jewish. I am Jewish." And then on March 2007, at a closed military hearing at Guantanamo Bay, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who had beheaded him, a member of Al-Qaeda, claimed that he had personally beheaded Pearl. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed said, "I decapitated with my blessed right hand the head of the American Jew, Daniel Pearl." Now remember, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is still at Guantanamo Bay, has never been killed. He wanted to die. He was never been put to death. He wanted to be put to death, but they did not. There he sits because the Obama Justice Department never sought justice. I want you to hear what Jennifer Griffin has to say about President Trump's view of Gitmo. Let's listen.
We're going to load it up with some bad dudes, believe me. We're going to load it up.
Candidate Donald Trump promised to reverse President Obama's decision to close Guantanamo Bay, which the last administration said terrorists used as a recruiting tool. It was among President Obama's first executive orders.
Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
Congress blocked efforts to close the facility. Last night, President Trump signed a new executive order, giving Defense Secretary Mattis, who quietly visited the facility before Christmas, 90 days to recommend whether those captured on the battlefield should be sent to Gitmo for the first time in 10 years.
Terrorists are not merely criminals. They are unlawful enemy combatants. And when captured overseas, they should be treated like the terrorists they are.
Senator Lindsey Graham has been a loud proponent of keeping Gitmo open.
I thought the president showed a determination as commander-in-chief to win a war that we can't afford to lose.
That's going to be used by every terrorist group worldwide against us.
Guarded by 1,500 U.S. troops, 41 prisoners remain at Guantanamo Bay. Among them, alleged 9/11 planner Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. 730 detainees have been transferred to 59 countries since 2002. 122 former detainees returned to the battlefield.
In the past, we have foolishly released hundreds and hundreds of dangerous terrorists, only to meet them again on the battlefield, including the ISIS leader, al-Baghdadi.
Former State Department officials who worked tirelessly to close Gitmo say terrorists are more likely to be convicted in a federal court.
All right, I'm going to interrupt this report because this is the blah, blah, blah of the Obama administration officials who released most of the criminals in Gitmo. They have, as Jennifer just told you, many of them, and the president just emphasized it, went back into the battlefield. And so it has, and it's also shut down our ability to get information out of members of whatever iteration of the Islamic State, whether it's Al-Qaeda or whatever. It's given us no ability to interrogate them in a safe way, at least safe for us, and a place that has given us so much information. And now Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, this is a different thing. The president didn't address this, but Khalid Sheikh Mohammed needs to be put to death. This is just, this is right. He was found guilty, and the sentence was death. And the courts in Guantanamo have been so corrupted, again, by the Obama Justice Department officials. It is a story that we could spend hours on right here. And I'm encouraged that the president sees there's a problem and he's trying to reverse it. All right, the president gave his speech on Tuesday night, the State of the Union address. How did people receive it? Well, here's a CBS News poll. CBS, obviously not a friend to the president, but this is what they're reporting. A 75% approval rating of the people that watched, including 97% of Republicans and 72% of independents. That means, by the way, a lot of Democrats also thought the speech was good. 65% said the speech made them feel proud. 54% said policies they heard in the speech would help them. 81% said that they felt the president was trying to unite the country. And so it's just an amazing poll from CBS, and I wanted to share that with you. Meanwhile, of course, the left is busy hammering away at him. Terry McAuliffe said he took this horrible... Terry McAuliffe, former governor of Virginia, the gentleman who gave several hundred thousand dollars to Andrew McCabe's wife to run for Senate. Terry McAuliffe, who's connected at the hip in terms of fundraising and personal friendship with the Clintons. He said the president took this horrible turn, and basically every immigrant was a murderer, a rapist, a horrible person. I had a dreamer, a young woman sitting two spaces next to me. She had tears in her eyes listening to the president of the United States tonight. It was embarrassing. It did not unify the country. He brought all these people in basically for props. He was just trying to get applause lines. That's basically what Terry McAuliffe had to say. Meanwhile, Joy Reid on MSNBC tweeted the following. Church, family, police, military, the national anthem. Trump trying to call on the tropes of the 1950s era nationalism. The goal of this speech appears to be to force the normalization of Trump on the terms of the bygone era his supporters are nostalgic for. So this is the world in which the left operates. This is what they believe is true. This is why the country is so terribly divided. Jim DeMint weighed in on this. He said, in 2012, Democrats removed God from their platform. Now liberals reject church, family, military, anthem. Shameful. And why Americans choose Trump over Hillary. And so that's kind of the breakdown on that. There's a new poll out that I wanted to share with you. Oh, several things I wanted to share with you. Let me just say that these prototypes for the border wall have been amazingly successful. If we have a chance, we'll play William Longines' report on this, but some of them are just have proven to be impenetrable. And so, what I heard was 100%. These are businessmen or inventors or creative people who have come up with these different styles for the border, which is what Trump had asked for, and they're all proving to be amazingly effective. And so, so stay tuned on that. There's a new poll out that I want to share with you. It is a poll from this Ear to the Ground Listening Project, which I told you about. I'm part of the group I'm just part. There's a lot of academics with this, but this is a great project. And what we did was we polled 6,883 respondents. These people are all considered to be strong Trump supporters. 68% male, 32% female, 66% Republican, 30% independent, and 4% other. Now, these, again, are Trump supporters, and this is what they say about immigration. 84% say they're following immigration very closely. 87% approve of President Trump's handling of immigration reform. When asked if they would support President Trump if he signs an immigration reform bill that includes a form of amnesty, only 3% said definitely yes. 13% probably yes, 36% might or might not, 26% probably not, 22% definitely not. What it means is that a whopping 71% of President Trump's strongest supporters staunchly oppose any border security deal that includes DACA amnesty. That's just an interesting poll. And by the way, we'll put that on our Facebook page so that you have access to it and can share it. When we come back, I want to talk about the memo. I know that's not a surprise to you. I have a lot of inside information on that that I want to share, because that 4-page memo may come out today. I'm not sure. And I'll explain to you why we're not sure. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Thank you. Today, moral relativism and political correctness are assaulting truth. How can the world have hope when believers themselves aren't clear on the authority of the Bible?
The Church of Jesus Christ always faces a tremendous temptation to deviate from the Word of God.
The God who speaks clearly expresses God's intent in giving us His Word and the response that is demanded of those who hear.
Nobody ever encounters God and says, "That was boring and irrelevant." When people say that about the Bible, it just says to me they've not encountered the God of the Bible.
Our faith is rooted in history, and consequently we need to use the evidence and never be afraid of it.
The God Who Speaks is a feature-length documentary from the American Family Association, which could bolster your confidence in the Word of God.
Churches really need to see this, really need to understand what the Bible actually is.
Available now at thegodwhospeaks.org.
Isn't that a beautiful sound? That sonogram holds the sound of a baby's heartbeat. Hi, I'm Jim Stanley, General Manager for AFR. We're partnering with the Ministry of Preborn to help save babies' lives. Preborn partners with pregnancy centers throughout America in helping abortion-minded women choose life through ultrasound. By letting a mother hear her baby's heartbeat and see her baby in the womb, she will choose life 80% of the time. Ultrasound is a game changer. For $140, you can provide 5 ultrasounds. All gifts are tax deductible, and 100% of your gift goes to saving babies. You can save a baby's life right here in America by donating to Preborn. To donate, dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Birds of a feather can flock together, but just not on board jetliners. United Airlines banned a woman from boarding a flight the other day with her emotional support peacock. Yes, good listeners, a peacock. These days, airports look more like pet stores. Emotionally troubled passengers hauling around all sorts of furry critters. Apparently, traveling with an exotic animal helps them cope with the stresses of life. It's out of control! So much so, Delta had to implement a new policy, banning ferrets, spiders, goats, and animals with hooves. And why, pray tell, would they have to issue such a policy? Because somebody boarded a jetliner with a pony! Some poor soul had to fly the friendly skies with Mr. Red. And you know the horse was reclining his seat all the way back. I mean, what's next? Snakes on a plane? I saw that movie. It did not end well, America. The country's gone plumb nuts! Slap crazy, folks! I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Late today, the House Intelligence Committee released the 51-page transcript that shows Monday's vote to release the Republican drafted memo was acrimonious, at times bitter, with allegations flying from Democrats. In this exchange, Congressman Mike Quigley presses Committee Chairman Devin Nunes over whether he coordinated with the White House. Quigley, did they have any idea you were doing this? Did they talk about doing this with you? Did you suggest it to them? Nunes, I would just answer, as far as I know, no. And I would also say that we are well aware that the minority has not wanted to conduct this investigation by the public opposition to the subpoenas that we issued back in August that were clearly looking into matters of FISA abuse. In a statement after the transcript's release, the committee's ranking Democrat Adam Schiff highlighted the passage because a follow-up question about staff coordination was not answered.
All right, that's the first part of Catherine Herridge's report. Things are heating up so much, I can't even tell you how serious this is becoming. We know that FBI Director Wray and Rod Rosenstein went to the White House with some other agents trying desperately to stop the release of this memo. This is after Christopher Wray went to see the memo on Sunday and signed off. I think he was not alone. I think he might have had another agent with him or two. They looked over the memo carefully and said they didn't see anything that was a problem, but now suddenly they feel there is a problem. And so they are doing everything they can to lobby the President of the United States from releasing this memo. They came out with a statement. The FBI came out with a statement. The FBI takes seriously its obligations to the FISA court and its compliance with procedures overseen by career professionals in the Department of Justice and the FBI. We are committed to working with the appropriate oversight entities to ensure the continuing integrity of the FISA process. Let me stop for a second. Could I just tell you that since the beginning of the summer, last June, they have refused to allow the FBI, the oversight committee in the House, to see the information about this FISA surveillance business? I know that much of this four-page memo is going to be about that, how it was obtained, whether it was based on the Trump, Steele dossier, the Fusion GPS dossier, whatever you want to call it, whether it was vetted. And so they were refusing to release the information to the House of Representatives committee that is tasked constitutionally with overseeing the FBI, has authority over the FBI. And they were going to be held in contempt of Congress. And that's why they finally sent something over. But I digress. This is the second, I'm sorry, I say that too much. My husband tells me I have to think of another word to say, but I change the subject. Here's the second paragraph on the FBI statement. With regard to the House Intelligence Committee's memorandum, the FBI was provided a limited opportunity to review this memo the day before the committee voted to release it. As expressed during our initial review, we have grave concerns about material omissions of fact that fundamentally impact the memo's accuracy. Now, let me just say, before I read you Devin Nunez's response on this, that people that I know are calling for the background documents that were used to prepare this four-page memo, this is a distillation of these documents, also be released. And so there's a push to do that so that people can actually see, because the Democrats now are saying they're coming up with their own memo, and then we're going to have this mishmash of what's true and what isn't true. They are trying to obfuscate and confuse, no question about it. So now there's a call to release the background documents on this. Let the people see what the documents actually say. That were the basis of the four-page memo. Chairman Nunez responds, House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunez issued the following statement. Having stonewalled Congress's demands for information for nearly a year, it's no surprise to see the FBI and DOJ issue spurious objections to allowing the American people to see information related to surveillance abuses at these agencies. The FBI is intimately familiar with material omissions with respect to their presentations to both Congress and the courts, and they are welcome to make public, to the greatest extent possible, all the information they have on these abuses. Regardless, it's clear that top officials used unverified information in a court document to fuel a counterintelligence investigation during an American political campaign. Once the truth gets out, we can begin taking steps to ensure our intelligence agencies and courts are never misused like this again. All right, so this is, by the way, the Bureau claims that the memo involves omissions of fact. Let me just say that what I understand, the changes were made at the FBI's request after Christopher Wray and others looked at it on Sunday. They made those changes, and some of them were grammatical. There's no real alteration to the actual meat of the document, and yet now the FBI is claiming that. And the other person who is, you know, kind of really nervous about this and has gone to the Trump White House is Rod Rosenstein, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, the man tasked with overseeing the Russian investigation after the recusal of Jeff Sessions. And I know that Attorney General Sessions is letting him handle it. He appointed Mueller. They're all buddies, you see, Mueller and Rosenstein. That reminds me of the uranium scandal, which Rosenstein was very involved in. He was the U.S. attorney in Maryland who signed off on selling 20% of our uranium to the Russians. But that's beside the point. I'm telling you, Rosenstein is up to his ears in this, and this memo he's very afraid of. So he went to the White House and begged the president I read that he went with Christopher Wray, the current director, but Rosenstein did most of the talking. And so now they're trying to make it sound as though the president asked Rosenstein for a loyalty oath. Rosenstein, sworn oath before the Congress, said he was not. But the left is trying to do everything they can to undermine the validity of this. And so Let me see. I want to read. So now we have this campaign that I mentioned to you before. And some of you who are not on Twitter, you don't. This would be a little foreign to you, but there's a hashtag called @releasethememo. And as I have explained, using a certain hashtag links you up with all the tweets wherever, anywhere in the world related to this. It's a way for something to go viral, as it were, a message to go viral. So it has. Release the Memo went viral. I told you that Dianne Feinstein and Adam Schiff, who is Devin Nunes' counter on this committee that is going to release this memo. Adam Schiff, of course, has been doing everything he can to stop it. When there was talk of the memo, when the committee voted on Monday to let the memo come out, Adam Schiff, of course, came before the cameras and did what he always does. He is a very dishonest, but he's a great liar. He is a great liar. In fact, let's listen to it for a second. This is clip 9.
I made a secondary motion that prior to the public release of either memoranda, that the FBI and the Department of Justice have the opportunity to come and brief the entire House in a classified session on both memoranda, on the underlying facts and the underlying materials, so that the committee could make a responsible judgment as to whether the memoranda should be made public. That motion was voted down by the majority. The majority expressed a concern that something in the minority memoranda or otherwise could compromise sources and methods, and for exactly that reason, we asked that both memoranda be vetted by the FBI and the Department of Justice, but that was voted down. I spoke with the director of the FBI earlier this afternoon. He expressed his strong interest in being able to brief our committee prior to any release of these materials about concerns that the Bureau and the Department
have. Okay, I'm going to interrupt him because basically he's there's so much, liars lie so well, and he does. First of all, Christopher Wray now wanting to brief the committee is pretty interesting when you consider that Chris Wray and the Justice Department, Elise Rosenstein was in charge of this, have stonewalled this committee who has oversight over them. Constitutionally, the FBI does not have authority over this committee. They cannot decide what the committee can see and can't see. Members of the House elected to that position, elected by the American people, have the right and the constitutional authority to oversee and see anything. They also have clearance. They have the authority to see anything that is in the files, the archives of the FBI and the Justice Department. They've asked for it. They've been stonewalled for almost a year. So now suddenly Christopher Wray wants to come and brief this committee, and Adam Schiff, of course, is blustering about this other memo that the Democrats have prepared. Look, I want to say again, this is not an issue of Republicans versus Democrats. This is an issue of people who love this country and want the truth to come out, and people who want to subvert at all costs. This has been a cooperative effort between many factions to destroy and undermine and take out the duly elected president of the United States. But it isn't just that. Don't leave it at that with your mind. It's not just that. It is an undermining of our constitutional system. The left, the resist movement, they want power. They want to take power. They don't give a whit about our Constitution and our laws. They don't care. Look at what they're doing with illegal immigration. Look at what they wanted to do with not with allowing illegal immigrants to come into the hall, the chamber, where the president was speaking, giving the State of the Union address, getting furious when the suggestion was made it might not be right for illegal immigrants to be in that chamber, might not be right for illegal immigrants to pour across the border and take our national resources. Look at the outrage. Their loyalty is not to this country. So just keep that in mind. It's much greater than just Donald Trump. Donald Trump seems to be the message bearer now of this particular time in our history. He seems to be the one voicing a love for this country and patriotism. What did that joy, what she call that? The old tropes of the 50s? Yeah, the old way. God, country, the American flag, the Constitution, all that boring stuff. This is what the left wants to destroy. So keep that in mind. It isn't just a campaign against Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is the one, the big guy standing in their way. And so let me just read. There's so much to share with you. All right. So they went to see Rosenstein and Christopher Wray went to see John Kelly, who was the president's chief of staff. And they were trying to talk him out of the president releasing it. So they were doing everything they could. Supposedly, according to statute, it would have to be 5 days before the memo was released. I'm a little puzzled about why people are talking about it being released today. Something must have, I don't know. I cannot explain that to you. By my calculations, it should not couldn't come out before tomorrow. The Democratic memo, contrary to what Adam Schiff lied in saying, has to go through the same process. The process was that the Republican memo had to be released to the House of Representatives, to all the members, before it could be released publicly. It's on a timeline. So the Republican, the so-called Republican four-page memo, went through that process, and now it has the five-day waiting period, and then it will be released to the public. And that's what the Democratic memo has to do, too. It has to go through the process. So when Adam Schiff says that they won't release it, he's lying about that. All right, so that was you heard what Devin Nunez's response was. This is from Sarah Carter this morning. Intelligence agencies join the FBI and push against plans to release the FISA abuse memo. Remember that it's the FBI and the just members. Look, it's people in the higher echelons of the FBI whose names you know well, plus people at the Justice Department, Rod Rosenstein and others, who have a lot to lose if this information is made public. Ron DeSantis says the FBI was afforded the opportunity to review the memo on Sunday and could not identify a single factual inaccuracy. Accordingly, I find the Bureau's statement to be a bit strange. Why not identify inaccuracies when you have the chance? And so this is what's happening. They're doing everything they can to stop the memo from being released. But let's get into the weeds of what we think is going to be reported. Remember that the FISA court, that's that secret court that the FBI, we know, went into. They were denied, by the way, their first request in June of 2016 to surveil, to wiretap, as the president said, to use any means necessary to observe conversations, phone conversations, etc., of Trump and his campaign and family. They were denied that first request. And so they kept working. They said they went back into the court several times trying to convince the court to let them do this. And finally, they went in with the Steele dossier, and they swore. I mean, when an FBI agent goes into that court, he, in this case, went in with somebody from the Department of Justice. We don't know who that is yet. They put their imprimatur. The judge can't be expert on all these things. He has to trust the FBI that the information that they are handing him is actually true, and based on their word. And if he thinks it's reasonable, he gives them permission to wiretap or surveil or monitor phone calls or fill in the blanks. And so this is what happened. They finally got permission, but they used something that they knew was a lie. They knew the dossier was phony. They knew it was fake. James Comey testified to that publicly. They knew that they had actually paid Christopher Steele themselves to make this stuff up. They knew that they had gone through the British intelligence agencies who were allowed to surveil, and that the Trump team was already being surveilled as soon as Donald Trump won the candidacy for the presidency. He was surveilled. We know that now. And yet the FBI pretended that they wanted to make it legal. It had been happening, so they wanted to make it legal. They sent this Steele dossier. They gave that as an excuse and got their permission. And so lots of people are going to be in trouble in this. By the way, Michael Horowitz is the Inspector General of the Department of Justice. He's doing his own investigation. And I want to end this part with one other thing. Andrew McCabe, who was fired on Monday, I think it'd be safe to say, is forced to step down, let's just say. We know that agents in the New York field office, these are good men, found these email on the Anthony Weiner laptop. They were investigating his lewdness, and they found all of these emails. Remember this story? And they tried to get the FBI to do something about it. It looks as though it came to Andrew McCabe's desk, and he sat on it until after the election. This is a very, very bad story, and part of the reason why Andrew McCabe is probably gone. But trust me, this is probably just the tip of the iceberg. We think that Comey probably knew about that and cooperated, but that has to be discovered. We don't know that for sure. But the Inspector General is checking into all of that. There's more detail on that, but we will come back to it. By the way, J. Christian Adams will be our guest on Monday, and we'll be talking all about what happens when that memo is released. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Much to the disdain of the regressives in the room and of the globalists the world over, President Donald Trump made a prescient and lasting observation during his State of the Union address. The president said he is committed to defending Americans and protecting our rights to pursue the American dream because Americans are dreamers, too. How refreshing it is to hear a president use the State of the Union stage to acknowledge that dreams are not reserved to people from other countries.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson inviting you to join us for our next edition of Family Talk. Our main purpose in this ministry is to put tools into your hands that will strengthen your marriage and help you raise your kids. We want to put an arm around your family in any way that we can. So join us next time for Family Talk, won't you?
Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson is heard weekday mornings at 6:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is David Barton of All Builders Live inviting you to join me here on American Family Radio this weekend. We take the ideas of the Founding Fathers and apply those ideas to the major issues of the day. Our guests include those who are in the headlines as well as experts on issues facing this great nation. Along the way, you'll discover the role that faith has played in our nation's history as well as in dealing with the issues we face right now. Join us Saturday afternoon at 2 Central here on American Family Radio.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. What's a president to do? The House Intelligence Committee has recommended on a party-line vote to release a four-page memorandum that evidently shows serious, if not actually criminal, misconduct by senior FBI and Justice Department officials. The committee's Democrats and the agencies concerned are strenuously objecting to the memo's disclosure. These interested parties are becoming more hysterical by the hour, claiming that the memo is incomplete, selective in its findings, and that it was changed materially after the committee vote. They insist its release will damage national security. What actually seems more likely is that the release of this memo will further damage the reputation of federal agencies that were, under the Obama administration, politicized. Their vast powers were abused by top FBI and Justice Department officials for partisan purposes. The American people have a need to know. Mr. President, release the memo. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. You know, Frank just mentioned this, and I realized I did not finish my thought in the last segment. That hashtag, release the memo, Frank just repeated it. Lots of us have been repeating it. But Dianne Feinstein and Adam Schiff have written to Facebook and Twitter suggesting that this whole thing is coming from Russian bots. It's not real people that are issuing or using that hashtag, release the memo, or that phrase. It's Russian bots, you see. We laugh about that, but I would have to say that Twitter did a report on it and got back to them and said, no, actually, it seems to be real people. But that wasn't enough for them. They sent another letter back and said, no, we have, then they made all of these demands. We want to know the analyticals, analytics on this. We want to know, fill in the blank, all of these things to justify why you declare it's not really Russian bots because we believe it's Russian bots. And so this is how seriously crazy the opposition is. And all the more reason why truth is so important. Truth in everything. You know, when we talk about the news, the whole basis of this is that truth, you know, all truth is God's truth. God wants us to know the truth. God is truth. Our God is truth. We want to know the truth in our personal relationships. We want to know the truth in government. We have a hunger for the truth. And even people that don't know the God that we serve have a hunger for truth. People want to know truth. And so AFA has just produced a brand new film. It's a full-length feature film called The God Who Speaks. You've been hearing lots of things about it lately. I've talked about it, and you've heard the commercials. They sound marvelous, don't they? They really do. And so today, we want to talk a bit about what this film is all about and why it's something that we feel strongly you will want to have access to. And to make it available to friends and family, maybe your church, neighbors, non-believing friends, you fill in the blanks. And by the way, it's available today for a digital download at AFA Store. AFAstore.net, The God Who Speaks, DVD. It's AFAstore.net, The God Who Speaks, DVD. And so joining me this morning is Jeff Chamblee. He is the director of AFA Studios. He has been since 1998. Jeff, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Sandy. A privilege to be with you. Thanks so much for having me today.
You know what? Since 1998, but AFA Studios has ramped up. That's kind of an understatement. Kind of describe for us what AFA, how the seriousness which with AFA is approaching their movie production.
Right. American Family Studios is the film and documentary division of American Family Association, and essentially our mission is the mission of AFA, and that is to proclaim truth, to uplift, to encourage, inspire, and to provide resources for believers and churches that will point them to the God of the Bible and to ways they can get involved in being salt and light in the culture. So I've been here since 98, was in radio for a number of those years, and went over to the other side of the street, to the other division, American Family Studios. And Sandy, your segue into this was just absolutely perfect, because we sat down 2 years ago and we said, we were at the end of a major project, and we said, what is the most important thing that we can do in light of the fact that our world has literally gone crazy? I mean, bad is good, good is bad. And instead of looking at another narrative film and a nice story, we said we've got to make a statement about truth, because everything that AFA says depends on the fact that it's somebody's statement other than our own opinion. And so we felt like we have got to be sure to give Christians a resource that they can stand on and trust in, that the God of the Bible has spoken to us. And that's why all the things that you say are true, all the things that we say at AFA are true.
That's our goal. I mean, we want to make sure that whatever comes out of our mouth is coming from being informed by our knowledge of Scripture, our own prayer life, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't go so far as to say, I certainly wouldn't say it about myself, that everything I say is completely accurate. Certainly my opinions, I would not be so bold as to say they are God's, that's for sure.
Right.
But with every breath that I breathe, that's what I try to do. And so now, Jeff, this is a very different kind of film.
Yes.
Although you've done documentaries before, but when you start to do something like this, how in the world, given the wealth of theologians, pastors, writers, how does one go about choosing who you're going to feature in a documentary like this?
That's such a good question. Our director, M.D. Perkins, spent the initial part of his research in this two-year period was choosing contributors. And at our website, thegodwhospeaks.org, people can go and find a list of those contributors and see who's in the film. First of all, you have to decide who are the experts. And then, are they known for being for speaking and writing on these issues, such as how we receive the manuscripts for the New and Old Testament? What does the Bible say about itself? How does Jesus and the resurrection play into the fulfillment of Scripture? So we had to find people that are known to speak on these things, that have written on these things, and that will agree to be in the film. And we have 23 of the best biblical scholars in the world, and I'm so excited about this. People like Alistair Begg, Norm Geisler, Erwin Lutzer, Alex McFarland, Al Mohler, R.C. Sproul, Frank Turek, D.A. Carson, and a host of others speaking on the subject of the Bible. And again, people can get that information, and they can order the DVD at thegodwhospeaks.org.
Okay, thegodwhospeaks.org, that's where you get it. I want to also add, there are other people on this list that grab my mind because I'm from a different world. You know this. I don't need to explain to you, Jeff, that evangelical Christians, not that we're not brothers and sisters. We are, but we travel in different circles,
sure.
Just like we're in from different families. And in my my family tribe, Dr. Erwin Lutzer is just the gold standard. And he's also featured in this film. Al Mohler, of course, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Josh McDowell. I mean, you've mentioned these, but Norm Geisler, who I've interviewed so many times through the years, who is an expert, an apologist. You've got some great people in this. Alistair Begg, of course. Now, your own background, obviously, all of us who serve at AFA and American Family Radio are followers of Jesus. No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
But your own background in terms of your faith, Jeff, what is that? What is it that you bring to the party here in terms of your background?
Sometimes, Sandy, I wonder what I bring to the party. My own background in terms of my calling after I became a Christian was to go into music ministry. And so for 13 years, I served as a minister of music. I had been in radio since I was 15, and that was my connection to AFA, and eventually worked my way into doing some projects here at American Family Radio. And one thing led to another. And so I came out of a music and art background, having some study in seminary at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, so some theological training brought in. Really, Sandy, I think a love for the truth and for pointing people to their only hope, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, without Him, we have nothing. And that's the message of the Bible that's consistent. So I think what I bring in is a desire, a humble desire, to point people to the God of the Bible and to hopefully allow God to work through that, like films like this.
So since I've asked you a personal question,
sure.
I'm going to ask you another one.
Okay.
So as you're sitting with these great men, these scholars, and these leaders of the faith in our generation, what did you take away from it, Jeff? I mean, what did it do for you in terms of your own commitment to Christ?
Oh, wow. For me, I can't watch this film one time. I've seen it now 4, 5, 6 times, and every time I'm picking up something different. So for 90 minutes, it's like drinking from a water hose. I mean, there's so much information that's coming out of this. People will have to see this multiple times to get it. For me, I think the miraculous nature of how God has preserved His Word for us, the extent to which He has gone through, to bring us His very Word. I mean, sometimes as evangelicals, I think we take that phrase too lightly. The fact that the God who made us has actually spoken to us, that we can know Him, and to find out what it is that He has to say. So for me, I think it's just the miracle of how God has preserved His Word through these years, through all of these different writers. So much consistency between all of them. And you mentioned particular denominational backgrounds. We deliberately, we intended this film to not be of one particular perspective in terms of denomination. That's why we chose a whole host of people to be in this, so we have a broad spectrum within evangelicalism. So I think that's one of the strengths of it.
Let me just say that if you have an interest in this, you can go to thegodwhospeaks.org. I hope every single one of you will. I know you're going to have an interest in it because it's a wonderful, wonderful film. Thegodwhospeaks.org, thegodwhospeaks.org. You can also, as I understand it, download the DVD, which is a little different address here. So should I be giving that?
You know what, Sandy? I think we're going to send people to the website, thegodwhospeaks.org, and I'll just toss in the fact that when you get the DVD, and this is not true with the download, the DVD is a 2-DVD set. So in addition to the 90-minute feature, there are over 2 hours of bonus content with subjects like the Dead Sea Scrolls, why are the translations different, slavery in the Bible, and a lot of the topics we just didn't get to cover in the documentary. We had over 30 hours of footage, so it was very difficult to trim it down.
You know, how does one go about, when you produce, of course, I don't need to tell you, Jeff, you're a singer, entertainer. I was too. My background is music too.
Yes.
And so programming is very important. Like, you can have great content, but if you don't package it the right way, people can't hear or see it. So how do you make something like that interesting? How do you make this, like, theology interesting?
Sure. Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, how do you show inspiration? How do you show the doctrine of inspiration? So what we did is we made an attempt to make this incredibly cinematic. We filmed tons and tons of ancient manuscripts and artifacts. We spent a couple of weeks in Israel flying over with a drone over the Sea of Galilee and the Negev Desert and Jerusalem and a lot of the sites there to make this really connect emotionally to the land of Israel and to connect the manuscripts with the land that they came out of. So that's one way we make it visually interesting, rather. And the other way is simply to have a lot of the content so we don't stay still a lot. That's why I say you need to watch the film about three or four times to get it, because it moves very fast. And it's not intended to entertain people. I'll tell you, it's going to require some participation. Because these men, you know, we don't want to hold back when it comes to academic integrity. We want this to be as able to stand up against any critic as any other film.
So who is this film for, Jeff? Oh, by the way, it's thegodwhospeaks.org, thegodwhospeaks.org. That's where you get it. Who is this for? Is this just for Christians? Right. Can it be used for people who are doubters, skeptics?
Mm-hmm. Good question. It's primarily intended for believers, because what we're seeing in the churches is a departure from the authority of the Scriptures. And we see crazy things like churches questioning whether or not marriage can be limited to a man and a woman. I mean, so we wanted to give believers a tool to bolster their confidence in the authority of the Word of God. But there's enough material in here to challenge any skeptic, and the film answers a lot of difficult questions. So we don't shy back from either, but I would say primarily for churches, Sunday school teachers definitely, pastors definitely, but for believers, and particularly those who need to be bolstered in their confidence of the Word of God.
You know, I think of that scripture, my people faint from lack of knowledge. And I think of my own experience, Jeff, as a Christian. I became a Christian, a serious Christian, when I was 9. I didn't really understand, how could I, until I was like 21 and 22, the depth of what I had committed myself to. I began to really study the Word. I began to read who wrote this and how can we trust it? And is God real? And how does he compare to other gods and all of that? Right. And the more I studied, the more my faith went deep, deep, deep. I do think that people faint from lack of knowledge. They don't understand the majesty. I also think of Albert Einstein, who once famously said that he went to church, but he was basically, he said, the God I saw there was so small compared to the God that I experienced in the universe that it was a complete turnoff for him. Yeah. We make God too small. Yes. We are too ignorant, and therefore our faith doesn't go deep and our passion is lacking. So we're trying to fix that for you and for us. And it's thegodwhospeaks.org, thegodwhospeaks.org. All right. What am I forgetting, Jeff? Anything else?
No, I think that's it. And I appreciate what you do day after day, standing for the truth. And I think that this documentary is exactly, why we're doing what we're doing here. We're wanting to point people to the truth so that we can stand on it, so we can bring glory and honor to the Lord.
And all truth is God's truth. And all truth, whether it's about politics or news, leads you to the one true God, because our God is truth. His word is truth. That's the real message we want to communicate to everyone. It's thegodwhospeaks.org, thegodwhospeaks.org. Jeff Shambly, director of AFA Studios. Thank you so much, Jeff, for your time this morning and for your great work on this project.
Thank you so much.
I hope to talk to you soon. All right, well, Sandy Rios with you. Let's just see if that memo comes out today. Won't that be interesting? If not, we'll be talking about it on Monday. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.